You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, with the returning Nando DeFino for the first time in a week. Comes your way next. Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, they'll also be along for the ride. Coming up today, over on RotoExperts.com, we have your exclusive Edge chat that you get every single Monday morning with the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. That comes your way at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. To chat with Jake, you got to be an exclusive Edge subscriber, and to do that, you can purchase the package if you don't have it. Free radio at checkout. You can talk to Jake for just under $10. You can also read
Surprises Slash for the playoff push, yes.
You can also read Scott Angle's Advanced Scout. And if you're into basketball like I am, Dan Dobish has got you covered. That is free, but we suggest paying less than $10 and getting all the access over at RotoExperts.com. For the Rams, yesterday, Kenny Britt, Corey, he has been someone you could rely on week in and week out, and he was torching the ghost of Darrelle Revis yesterday. 7 receptions, 109 yards on 10 targets until they went away for him for some reason in the second half.
Now, say what you want to say about this. I had Kenny Britt all over in DFS lineups yesterday. Yeah. Obviously,
you
New
love
York
Kenny
Jets.
Britt. Yeah.
I used to love Kenny Britt.
You're off of Kenny Britt?
I fell out of love with him.
Okay.
The intangibles that Scott always talks about came into play yesterday. Why I got him in all my DFS lineups. Not a revenge game. He never played for the New York Jets.
No, sir.
He's a Jersey guy.
That's a Rutgers.
He's a Jersey guy.
That's a Rutgers, yeah.
And I felt as if he would have a good game yesterday, and he didn't let me down. So there you have a situation where it's not all about the numbers and analytics. Sometimes, Scott, the intangibles come into play.
I don't know if that was an intangible game. I know he's a Jersey guy.
I've seen that before. Like, you know, I'm at home in front of my people. You know,
Stephon Diggs yesterday.
Get me the ball.
In Washington?
Stephon Diggs yesterday in PG County.
I believe
I've seen it happen before. Yeah.
Fantasy executive.
What's up, Tone?
Has any Rutgers players in the last 3 years put up any numbers?
How long since Ray Rice been in the league?
Yeah, I know. You saw that one coming.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, that's one of the intangibles that I look at. I understand that, a lot of people don't.
Everything
is so analytical now, but sometimes it's just things like this that, can get you 7 for 109.
Could happen. The opposite happens a lot of times, and people don't talk about this. All of a sudden, you go home, and now 60 people want tickets to games, right?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you got to go around and get all this stuff. So some guys choke under these situations.
You're right. It could be a headache. I understand that. That's an aspect that you could take of it, too. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, but you know what? For Britt, it wasn't a high-pressure situation playing against Bryce Petty and the Jets.
So. Say you had a situation where you had to make a choice between Sterling Shepard and Kenny Britt.
I go Britt.
I would have went Britt.
Britt scored double figures in 5 of his past 6 and 31 points in his last 2.
Maybe but none of those statistics you just cited had anything to do with him living in New Jersey.
That was the intangible.
He asked the question about comparing Shepard to Britt, and that's why I mentioned Britt.
And you went to the numbers.
I went to the numbers for that. I wasn't talking about.
Yeah, but in a situation like that, I'd have took Britt, and not only the number. Well, maybe I should have used a better example than Sterling Shepard, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think the intangibles do come into play at some time. I'm sorry for getting off topic, Greg.
You're off topic, man.
No, you created
you're
a topic.
Good. You're all good. Don't worry about it.
I'm new here.
You're not new.
Yeah.
You're older than I am, believe me.
You've been with us for a while.
For the Rams, Todd Gurley had 21 carries for 64 yards. Benny Cunningham yesterday, 6 carries for 40 yards. You know he's involved in the passing game. Does Benny Cunningham, Scott, have any standalone value outside of being Todd Gurley's handcuff?
No. Todd Gurley don't have no standalone value.
Yeah. Can Todd Gurley actually stand alone?
This is a disaster. Here's the thing with Gurley.
Here's
right?
the thing with Gurley, yeah.
With Hopkins.
Yeah.
It's Brock Osweiler's fault.
Yes.
Period.
Right.
But Gurley, this is on him.
How much on him?
This is on him. I don't want to hear about the offensive line. I don't want to hear about the play calling. This guy is flat out not getting it done. This is a big time bust, Todd Gurley. This is one of the biggest busts in fantasy football history.
Yeah, but when I watch him, though, he definitely is a bust. There's nowhere for him to go, though. He's getting stuffed in the backfield.
Well, but see, you say that. You say that. If anybody watched the game yesterday, the Rams' offense was 100 times better with Cunningham in the backfield.
It was. No question.
Benny Cunningham was six carries for 40 yards. He's averaging 6 yards a pop.
He looked good.
Todd Gurley, 21 for 6. This guy is having a horrendous season. Awful. Todd Gurley. Yeah. He's having a horrible season.
Correct.
And I think a running back can help make the offensive line better also. You know what I mean? This guy has 515 yards, 3 touchdowns on the season. Is he hurt? Is he masking an injury? What the hell is going on? This guy flat out sucks. Averaging 3 yards a pop. This is supposed to be the next Adrian Peterson, the best running back to enter the NFL since Adrian Peterson. This is ridiculous.
Well, I'm watching the game yesterday, and I'm like, why does he have nowhere to go?
Why did Benny Cunningham have space?
Yeah.
Is this going to be a situation, Tony, where we get to the offseason and we hear that this guy was hurt all year?
It could be. I mean, something doesn't look right. And that was the thing that was worrisome yesterday. Benny kind of had some huge runs in that offense. And next week, week 11, you have 6 teams on a bye. They play the Miami Dolphins. I do think Benny Cunningham is a guy you could pick up for 1 week only with all those byes next week and have an opportunity because he's going to catch balls out of the backfield. So in PPR leagues, you'll get a couple points. You'll get probably 2 or 3 points there. Then if he runs 40, 50 yards, they don't throw the ball. I mean, if Case Keenum's still a quarterback, you're going to be all set there. I think Cunningham's a play next week if you lose guys on bye weeks.
Cunningham averaged about 6.5 yards per carry just under yesterday, and Todd Gurley averaged about 2.9 yards per carry.
There's something there, man. Yeah, there's something there. Todd Gurley's brutal. He's been absolutely brutal.
The only thing I can think from a strategic type of view, because we're all baffled here.
Yep.
And I go back to strategy. I think, you know, the Jets are a team or other teams have watched Gurley on film, and they know his style. They didn't expect to see Cunningham or know his style because he's definitely a different style of runner.
And that's true, too, Scott. Yeah. You make a point. When they see Cunningham in the backfield, they could be thinking, okay, this is pass.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? This is a passing
sure.
play.
Yeah.
When they see Gurley, they know to load up. I don't know.
Gurley will run more inside.
He had a stretch last year where he looked awesome.
Yeah.
And this team wasn't that much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what the hell is going on?
It's true. I don't know.
We need to get a sports psychiatrist on the show.
Yeah.
I think it's a mental thing. Or an injury thing. Or maybe he sucks.
Teller?
Or a fortune teller.
The whole offense sucks except for Kenny Britt. I mean, he only scored 3 field goals yesterday.
Yeah.
Is Greg Zuerlein their fantasy MVP?
They don't have
Kenny Britt. Kenny Britt's their fantasy MVP. Kenny Britt's having a nice season.
Kenny Britt is Britt happens.
Lance Kendricks actually played well, too.
And Lance Kendricks is also. Yeah. Yeah, he's right. Tavon Austin, I don't ever want to. Please, please, please don't ever. I'm not ever drafting or putting Tavon Austin in the fantasy lineup of mine.
I've always said Tavon Austin every week.
Who? Why?
What?
Who?
I don't
why?
Know why they do it. No.
Wow.
I must know be Cardano. He doesn't want to say that.
That's on the board. Scott baits Corey into one. Put him on the board. That's
nice
the board.
Job, Scott.
Nice job, Scott. That was good. He's funny. That was awesome.
It is Cardano, by the way.
We should get one for you, Floria. You want to say that name. Put it on that board, Corey. Nice job, Scott. Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't even planned either.
Corey.
I just said I'm not saying it.
You mentioned here that DeAndre Hopkins, the other massive bust here.
Oh my God.
On the season. Yesterday, 5 catches for 48 yards, and that was on 13 targets for DeAndre Hopkins. CJ Fedorowicz at 26 yards. Brock Osweiler throws for 99 passing yards against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's the thing right there. It doesn't make a difference how many targets he had when the damn quarterback is averaging 3 yards a pop in the NFL in 2016. This guy throws for 99 yards? Are you kidding me? This guy throws for 99 yards? How much money do they give this guy? He is robbing them blind. This is a disaster. This guy sucks.
Can you imagine if you went wide receiver, and went DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Marshall?
Oh, my God. That's possible.
You're in bad shape right now. So you look at Osweiler is a disaster. They got to get another quarterback in here. If I'm Hopkins, I'm like, trade me to Philadelphia.
Trade me anywhere, man. This is absolutely
crazy. You know what was crazy about this? Who's the backup in Houston?
What's up, Tom
Savage?
Yesterday in that game, he actually had 100 yards passing, and they went and took one away from him. I mean, that actually is how bad things have gone for Brock Osweiler this season. And that was a pathetic game to watch. Blake Bortles had the worst interception in the history of interceptions yesterday. That was the, you can catch it all over YouTube or wherever you want to watch. He threw a 100-mile-an-hour, 2-yard pass that bounced the 50 feet. This game was terrible to watch. Lamar Miller again, though. It was Lamar Miller. He had a good game and didn't get in the end zone. I mean,
he got hurt. He had a 45-yard. I know what you're talking about, though. He had a 45-yard run, though. And they pulled him out for Alfred Blue. A lot of times when a guy has a long run and gets him to the one, they'll pull him out because, you know, they want him to catch his breath. But he also came out of the game for a little while for an injury.
Yeah, he actually did. And people were all over Twitter. What's going on with Lamar Miller?
Who the hell is Akeem
Hunt? Who's Akeem Hunt?
Yeah.
What is up with Lamar Miller? Over and over and over again, you saw that Akeem Hunt came in, 8 carries, 52 yards. He's our Alf Blue in there as well. There's also Lamar Miller.
When you come back... And then, you know, we still got 2 games to go tonight. We got Eli Manning and Andy Dalton left.
Talk about that in a moment.
But here we go with Blake Bortles. Every week, he is a top 12 fantasy quarterback. Week after week after week, we sit up here and we talk trash about him. He's terrible.
It's all true.
And then guess what happens at the end of the week? He's a guy that is a starter in the 12-team league each and every week, Blake Bortles.
It's all true, though. Blake Bortles sucks.
He sucks. Yeah. He doesn't suck for fantasy.
No, he does not.
I think there's 3 interesting storylines here on Jacksonville. The resurgence of Allen Robinson.
Yeah, well, that's one game, Scott.
No, it's not one game.
It's not one game.
Two.
It's two.
Two's a trend.
And actually, you want to count 3. He had 13 points in week 8, so that's not terrible. Julius Thomas has scored touchdowns in 3 of the past 4 games, and Chris Ivory was a dud.
Yeah, Chris Ivory was a big blow. It was a blow yesterday.
I was big on Chris Ivory yesterday,
We felt like it was going to be Hackett, run the football,
spend all your money.
Yeah, take the ball away from Blake Bortles, and they go right back to throwing the football 50 times a game. A week later, no discipline. A week later, just throw the football 50 times again.
9 carries apiece for T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory, 32 yards rushing for Yeldon, 31 yards. Chris Ivory doesn't know any offense. He has no clue. This entire coaching staff needs to be replaced.
The defense ain't that good either.
Who do you bring in? Guys, who do you bring in to coach this team? Anybody got any ideas? Serious ideas, please.
This is the thing I say all the time. I was a Patriots fan when they were the worst franchise in all of sports.
Right.
Like, they won 2 games every year. They hired Bill Parcells, and everything changed.
Right.
All of a sudden, everything went there. That's what they need to do. Forget getting free agents. And you have the second-highest paid defense.
Sure.
Go and get Bill Cowher or get John Gruden. Pay them $10 million a year and fix this franchise.
Another name that's out there, obviously, is Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin back to Jacksonville, where he started his pro career at. He comes in there.
He still wants to be involved.
He still wants to be involved. He comes in there. He could put a system in place, and they're going to stick to it. Tom Coughlin and is going to run it. Listen, this team has talent on it. There's talent on the defensive side of the board. This Bortles kid is probably better. You got Allen Robinson. There's weapons on this team, but they need a new direction.
And
so they need somebody to come in there like a Parcells type.
You know what it is. You gotta get $500 million to Jim Harbaugh and just have Jim Harbaugh come in and this team will go to the Super Bowl. It's that easy, man.
Oh, come on with the Harbaughs.
He could beat Iowa.
Really? Oh, come on. Whatever.
He lost to Iowa.
I understand he lost to Iowa. But he brought San Francisco to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
Had an NFC Championship 3 straight games. You bring Harbaugh in here. This team.
They've been terrible ever since he left.
It was a great game to watch them lose. I'll tell you what, college football was exciting on Saturday.
Very fun days of college football. What, the 2-3-4 teams all lost?
Yeah, I'm a Clemson guy, so that sucks.
All the guys we want to coach, though,
Clemson guy.
Except for Coughlin.
South Carolina. South Carolina school. I always root for the South Carolina school.
All the coaches we mentioned, though, except for Coughlin, like in the broadcast booth, and can we pull them out?
Yeah.
Gruden.
Well, Gruden's not coming out there. Monday Night Football.
Make $10 million?
Yeah. Cowher.
I don't know if Cowher's coming out.
Jimmy Johnson. You know.
Jimmy Johnson's selling Viagra.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, Coughlin wants to get back in.
Coughlin wants to get back in.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, I mean, Coughlin will bring some discipline for
Remember how mad he was when he got fired by the Giants?
Sure.
He was pissed. When him and the Giants went to separate race, he was very upset in that press conference.
No other franchise would have done that. That guy won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but Tony, you
look at it.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Nobody would have done that, regardless of whether it's wrong or right. Nobody else would have done that. Like, there are certain guys that you win. Look at Mike Socha. The Angels have sucked for years.
Yeah.
He won 1 World Series.
Yeah.
Like, teams just when you win, people keep you around forever.
And well, I think that's
wrong. Yeah, look at how, you know what? I'm going way back, but look how long Chuck Knoll and Tom Landry hung around before they.
I don't know if that's right though. You know, I think you have to play for today. I mean, look at Joe Torre won what? How many World Series? He got fired.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. It's like, what has Marvin Lewis ever won, and they keep him around?
I think the Bengals just don't want to spend no money.
I agree with that.
They got the cheapest coach.
Yeah. I think Marvin Lewis made $25,000. He get $1,000 a game.
I feel like the Jaguars would kill for Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, you're right. Jaguars would.
Honestly.
Because he brings in some kind of does he really bring in stability? His team is undisciplined.
Oh, yeah, they are.
It's one of the most undisciplined teams in the league.
All right, so you could bring in like Wade Phillips here, bring them in Jackson. Bring Mike Shanahan in here. Get all these old coaches back together. Bring Dan Reeves.
Yeah,
Dan Reeves.
Dan Reeves.
Joe Gibbs. Bring him out of racing.
Exactly. Allen Robinson, as Scotty mentioned, 9 for 107 in a touchdown yesterday. He's a couple of good games in a row now. Allen Robinson, you're feeling good. Marquise Lee, 4 for 50. Allen Hurts, 2 for 13. I said it early in the show. I stand by it. Allen Hurts is droppable.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go that far.
Why?
I'm not going that far with Hurts.
Do you know Allen Hurts' numbers this year?
I'm looking them up right
He's
now.
He's got 33 catches for 456 and 2. What are you holding on to this guy for?
I think I know why. You know,
why?
I mean, if you look at the game log, he's got five double-figure PPR performances. He had a 22-point game in Week 8.
You got to go way down the wide receiver list to find him, too. I'm like, Cordarrelle Patterson, hold on. Did I skip him?
He's underneath Cordarrelle Patterson. He's had some decent games this year, though.
Yeah, exactly. He has. I don't think. It's six teams on the bye next week. You can't cut this. You can't send this guy. This is a starting wide receiver, too.
Would you rather play starting wide receiver, too?
Week?
Oh.
Wait, you just call him a starting wide receiver, too?
Not a fantasy wide receiver, too. An NFL, okay. too. Like, okay. He's opposite of Allen Robinson. Not a fantasy. He's a fantasy four.
If that. sorry, I was out.
I mean, Chris Conley starts, too, you know.
That's a good point. So, Albert Wilson, Tyreek Hill had less snaps than both of them yesterday. All right, one more game to get to here, guys. And it was perhaps the most heartbreaking game of the day if you are a New Orleans Saints fan, as the Saints lose to Denver 25-23 on that new you can score 2 points on a blocked extra point rule.
Wow.
As the Saints come back down to tie the game. And they lose on a blocked extra point, and that's how it goes down. The Saints lose to Denver 25-23. And in the first half, Drew Brees had negative points for me, comes back down and has a good solid day. 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns for Drew Brees. Brandon Cooks back on the map yesterday, 3 for 98 and a touchdown. And this is Michael Thomas' most disappointing game in a while. 4 catches, 40 yards. He fumbled it twice. And the interception, last interception that Drew Brees threw, that was also Michael Thomas' fault. An awful game for the rookie Michael Thomas yesterday, Scott.
If you had played the standard without PPR and you lose 2 points for fumbles, he had 40 receiving yards, you got a zero for Michael Thomas.
That's a great point.
And where the hell did Willie Snead come from all of a sudden?
I love Willie Snead, too.
I had him on my bench yesterday because I didn't like the matchup for him. He's been the odd man out the past couple of weeks. And, of course, he has 2 touchdowns sitting on my bench.
He hasn't scored since week two.
Huh?
Yeah, I know.
Drew Brees, continue.
Who did you play him over?
I tell you right now, Tone, I tell you who I started.
Because a lot of people made this mistake yesterday. And sometimes you have to take into account the games. And that was a 50 total. And there were going to be points scored in that contest. There was some injuries in the Denver secondary. Like, I thought Willie Snead was a lot better play than people were giving him credit for.
Yeah, there was no Talib yesterday.
Let me pull up this information right now. You guys talk amongst
yourselves. Although Darian Stewart had a heck of a day if you're playing IDP.
Snead, 5 for 47 with those 2 touchdowns here. The running game for New Orleans. Mark Ingram, 11 carries, 50 yards. Tim Hightower, 8 for 21. What do you make of the running game, Tone?
It was hugely disappointing yesterday. Denver's defense was 29th against the rush. Drew Brees, as good as he is, and I've been saying this the last 2 weeks, he's a statistical whore, and he has to make sure he gets his. They throw the ball more than they should. Like, I really think that game could have been different if they tried to run that ball and kept their defense off the field. I was surprised at how much they threw the ball yesterday.
Is Kobe Fleener even rosterable anymore?
I don't think so.
2 for 26 yesterday for Kobe Fleener.
Yeah, Kobe Fleener has a total of 24 points PPR in his last 4 games.
Willie Snead, Tony. I started Zach Miller over Willie Snead.
Yeah, that would. I think that was a bad. That happening.
I should have ran that past you first.
No, it's easy to say that. It's easy to say that after the fact. I could see playing Zach Miller.
Yeah, that sucks. I played Zach Miller in my flex. I left Willie Snead on the bench, and they sing the national anthem, and he has two touchdowns. So there you go.
Sorry to hear that, man. Sorry to hear that.
I mean, as soon as the game started.
Talk about this running game. What about going forward for Tim Hightower and Mark Ingram? Where is this just going to be a split thing all the rest of the way?
Yeah, the rest of the way. I mean, you saw last year that Hightower took over, but Ingram, he coughed up the ball. He had the big game. Yesterday he was involved, and they're using him in the passing. It's so weird because it's so predictable. Ingram goes out for pass catches in that backfield, and Hightower stays in and pass blocks. It's one of the craziest things that I've ever seen. It's so predictable watching the games.
When we were playing as Mike Florio line on Friday, though,
yep.
we learned that Mark Ingram only had two goal line attempts all year, so I think Hightower might still be that goal line guy.
It's very possible. Absolutely. Brandon Cooks in 3-for-98 yesterday, Corey. Brandon Cooks has kind of taken a backseat for the most part for the last couple of weeks to Michael Thomas. Yep. I know Thomas had a bad game. Brandon Cooks was the presumed number one wide receiver on this team. Over the last few weeks, you know, 3-for-98 yesterday in a touchdown is very, very good. Before that, 5-for-66. Now, he was scoring, but he wasn't putting the yards up. He did it for three consecutive games with touchdowns.
Satisfied with Brandon Cooks. I don't see no issue with Brandon Cooks and his production this season.
Okay.
Yeah, but what it is the classic NFL setup with what teams have been doing for years. They have one bigger receiver.
Right.
And then they have the downfield guy in. They pair it, you know.
Okay.
You got your big receiver, Mike Thomas, used to be Colston. Now it's Cooks on the other side.
Okay. Speaking of the other side, for Denver yesterday, 8 receptions, 87 yards and touchdowns for DT. Manny Sanders, 5-for-57. And the running game, everybody expected the Capri Babes is really going to split carries with Devontae Parker. 24 carries for Booker. Or Devontae Booker, excuse me. Mm-hmm. 24 carries for Booker, 7 carries for Bibbs, 76 yards rushing for Booker, 22.
3.2 yards a pop. He got the workload. He got the workload against a defense that gives holes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so we were talking about who was going to be that rookie back that comes on down the stretch. I think we can safely say it's not going to be Devonta Booker.
Very well could be C.J. Procise.
It very well could be C.J. Procise.
Trevor Siemian, I could have streamed him like I wanted to, Tony. Tony and Corey. You know who I would have beaten? Scott.
Sorry, Greg.
It's okay, man. It wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault. Any final Week 10 thoughts here, Scott?
Trevor Siemian threw the football 40 times yesterday.
Yes, he did. Anything stand out to you Week 10, Scott, that we didn't mention?
I think we covered pretty much most of it.
All right, Corey.
I think we did
a good job.
Tone?
Yeah.
Yesterday, actually it was a fun day to watch football, which we haven't been saying the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it was.
The Dallas-Pittsburgh game was great. I actually had fun watching that Green Bay-Tennessee game. It was an amazing thing to watch.
Absolutely.
You know, it was the defenses who were there. I thought the games were great to watch yesterday, and then it capped it off with that New England-Seattle game. So it was a great day watching the NFL yesterday.
Yeah, it was a really fun day. I was saying to Scotty earlier, I didn't really have any implications in that late-night game, but I actually really wanted to watch Westworld, which I didn't get a chance to because the game was too good. It was fun. It was fun to watch last night. Okay. When we come back, we will leave Sunday and head to Monday night. Giants and Bengals will preview it next here on the Roto Experts. Giants, Bengals tonight. MetLife Stadium, Tommy Coughlin, who we mentioned a little while ago, goes into the Giants Ring of Honor.
Oh, that's nice.
Along with Justin Tuck tonight, Ernie Accorsi as well. So that'll be fun tonight. We'll be there, tailgate to the game, outside at the Monmouth Racetrack, the Meadowlands Racetrack, rather.
Yes.
A big tailgate party. Tickets to the game, FantasySportsNetwork.com. You can check it out, and we can help you with that.
FantasySportsNetwork.com/events.
Well, I figured they would find it from there. But, yeah, /events, sure.
Yeah.
We have a big tailgate party. It'll be fun.
Yeah, should be. You know, lots of cool food, and come talk fantasy with us before the Giant game.
Yeah, that would be super fun. Speaking of the Giants tonight, this is the matchup that I told you, Corey, that I benched Marcus Mariota yesterday. My guy. I've been riding him all year long. You know that.
I don't understand why you did that.
So remember we had this conversation last Wednesday where we talked about Monday Night Football, and wanting guys on Monday Night Football.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me you're playing Andy Dalton.
So my opponent has Andy Dalton.
Oh, okay.
So I saw my opponent had Andy Dalton. He had a Monday night guy, a Monday night quarterback. I go, I want my own Monday night quarterback. So I benched Marcus Mariota for Eli Manning, so we'd each have quarterbacks. And my opponent also has Giovanni Bernard tonight.
Did you have Do you have Rashad Jennings?
I don't have Rashad.
Do you have Orleans Darkwater?
Well, I have no other Giants.
I said Ezekiel Elliott for Orleans Darkwater.
So frustrating.
Why have a guy on Monday night?
So frustratingly enough, my opponent had Ezekiel Elliott yesterday.
God.
And I felt really good. There was 2 minutes left in the game. So wow, I'm in a good spot to win. I just need a solid game for my Patriots later. I had a bunch of Patriots. I am in a good spot. When it's all said and done, we sit going into Monday Night Football. I am up 11 points with Eli Manning versus Andy Dalton and Giovanni Bernard.
I think you're good to go.
Yeah, I got a good shot. Scott, what do you think? You got a good shot?
I think it's going to be close.
I agree.
I think it's going to be very
probably
close.
Probably going to start Mariota and one. But
yeah. I mean, the Giants' defense is vulnerable on both fronts. You know, the 27th against the pass and 25th against the run, so... if you got any Bengals, it's looking pretty good. The Bengals are ninth against the run, but not like the Giants can run on anybody. So they have to throw, so you got to like Eli from that perspective. I think they've given up 16 touchdown passes.
I got Tyler Eifert and going in one league tonight. I feel comfortable with that. I got Odell going in the league tonight. Obviously, I feel comfortable with that. I still feel that Odell streak is coming. I'm going against a guy with Gio. I'm not really worried about that. That's kind of how I looked at it. I had my big night last night. One of my teams last night, fellas, I had two players, LeGarrette Blunt and Doug Baldwin. So that really helped.
That's awesome.
Push me across the
Six
top.
Six touchdowns. Yep. Two players.
Crazy.
As far as tonight goes, I think the New York Giants in a good spot right here.
The Giants tonight?
I like the Giants tonight. They get an AFC North team on the road, coming to Giants Stadium.
Bengals coming out of a bye, though, I think.
Huh?
Right? Are Bengals coming out of a bye?
Yeah, the Bengals are coming out, which makes it a little bit different. But I like the Giants in this one. I don't think the Giants drag them. I think it's a competitive game. I think it's a fun game to look at and watch. I think the Giants go out there and get the W. Let's go 31-26, New York Giants.
Is the NFC East back to being the best division in football?
Yeah, the NFC East is the best division in football. Might take three teams to the playoffs.
Crazy. What about the AFC West?
I think that's the other choice. I think those two divisions are probably the best two divisions of football for sure. I agree with that. Tony,
the thing is, the difference might be the Chargers.
What do you mean?
I'm saying the difference is that I think the worst team in the NFC East is probably better than the worst team in the AFC West.
The Chargers are pretty good though.
Say you take the New England Patriots just happen to be hypothetically in the AFC West.
Yeah.
What's that?
Say the Patriots were in the AFC West. Would they be the best team in that division?
Yeah. They'd be the best team in any division.
I think so. Yeah.
You said that hands down.
Yeah, I think.
So they can handle two games against Denver, two games against Oakland.
Yeah.
Okay. Two games against Kansas City.
Yeah, I think so.
And you guys think that they would win, come out that 6-0?
We didn't say that.
Okay.
We said they would be the best team in the division.
They'd be the best in the NFC East too.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, Corey, you don't agree?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they have an advantage playing against these AFC East opponents.
Yeah, they might, but I still think they're the best
team. They beat other teams, too, though.
Hey, Tony, what should we expect from Paul Perkins tonight? What kind of workload can we expect there?
First of all, I have you losing by 5 points.
Damn it.
Oh, wow.
In tonight's game. I have Andy Dalton getting 21 points and Giovanni Bernard 13 points and Eli Manning 17.
I hope your projections are incorrect.
I hope so.
I know you've been talking up Dalton all week, Tony.
Yeah, I know the Giants' secondary is terrible, and you're right. I don't think the Bengals are going to be able to run the ball, and that's why I like Bernard to catch the ball out of the backfield tonight for 30 points. And I have Jeremy
really
Hill.
You really think
and
they won't be able to run
well.
The ball against the Giants?
No.
Giants haven't been too good against
the Giants
run.
Are pretty. The Cincinnati Bengals haven't been good at running the ball, and the Giants are at least adequate against the run.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I expect A.J. Green to have a big night tonight in that contest. I thought he was the number one wide receiver this week coming in. Paul Perkins is a guy that, Jesus, this pass, how can you, I don't even know how you could play him in this contest tonight. They have a 23 team total, so there are some points expected, but he comes out on passing downs because he's not a good pass blocker, and Rashad Jennings is statistically, by Pro Football Focus, the number one pass blocking running back in the National Football League. So he loses opportunities to get on the field. And when he comes in, he runs the ball. But I don't look at any of these backs getting 10 fantasy points.
I agree with you. That's one of the reasons I liked Eli Manning, is they're just going to throw. They can't run the ball.
I think, you know, Jeremy Hill, no. Like if Andy Dalton's going to move the ball, though, through the air, though, he could get a chance or two to, like, finish off a drive with a touchdown run or two.
Well, if you look at it, actually, Giovanni Bernard's got the last couple of goal line carries, which is crazy.
I think he'll always get his chances.
You mind if I change the subject right quick, Greg?
I don't
He's
know. Like, bored by this Giants-Bengals talk.
I know this is a couple months off. What are you guys doing for Valentine's Day?
Valentine's? We haven't got to Thanksgiving yet.
Valentine's Day? What am I doing?
Why are you talking about February?
I'm going to be in Florida for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's nice. You going with your girlfriend?
You are?
Yeah. You want to hang out?
So you guys plan these things like that far ahead? Like,
well, my mom, no. My mom's in Florida. I know February is like a slower time for us, so I'm going to go down and visit my mom. My girlfriend's going to come with us.
Oh, okay.
So I just know that I booked a trip to Florida to visit my mom in February.
You and your girlfriend are getting serious, huh?
What part of...
together for like 3.5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What part of Florida?
What part of Florida? Is it romantic?
The Jew part of Boca Raton.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah.
That's the Jew and Chris Cotta. He's like the token guy running around. Yeah, I used to watch him... I was in Boca Raton. Pete Rose actually owned a sports bar at Boca Raton.
When I lived in Florida, I actually had a fantasy draft at Pete Rose's.
Yeah. So Chris Cotta would be out there jogging.
I like Pete Rose's.
Chris Cotta would be out there jogging around.
Yeah.
Oh, how about that?
How about that?
Yeah. I just was curious.
Can you tell us why you were curious? Why were you curious?
Because I was looking through my calendar last night and I was like, oh, okay, this is coming, that's coming. I'm like, oh, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day is months away.
Yeah, we got to get Thanksgiving, Christmas Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you guys were doing. That's it.
What are you doing for MLK Day?
Staying home. Staying home, watched, my feet up.
I watch the NBA.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. I might go to the Knicks game. Yeah, exactly. It's a three-day weekend.
Let me ask a
it's
question.
It's not a three-day weekend for us. What?
For me, it
yes.
is. I'm taking that one, bro. I'm taking that one.
Yeah. Scott, you're the only married guy. Is Valentine's Day 100% lock that you would have adult relations on that day being married?
One of them.
Wait, one of them.
Is it a lock, though?
Yeah, I said yes. Yeah. It's one of a few days it would be a lock.
Oh, so there's a few days of a lock.
So it is a lock for you.
Yeah.
What else? What's locks? Like
birthday?
Your birthday?
Yeah.
Valentine's
Happy birthday to me.
Okay.
You know.
Okay. Locks. All right.
Yeah.
Any other locks?
What?
To be honest with you, I don't think it's a lock.
Anniversary.
It depends on who you talk to.
Anniversary.
Yeah.
Anniversary.
Yeah. Anniversary. Wedding anniversary. Yeah.
So there's three days that are locks for married couples, I believe. Right? It's the birthday, Valentine's Day, and anniversary.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
See, it depends on how you work it, though. If you give a good Christmas gift, you know.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to get? What are you getting your wife for Christmas? Do you know yet?
I haven't thought about it yet, but.
We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Well, if it's so important, you better start thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, I'm usually a good gift giver, though.
That's what's up.
What did you get your wife for Christmas last year?
What was it last year? I don't. She collects Hello Kitty. So,
oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's cool.
So I
that's
got
what's
a
up.
Real big one with a British like outfit on it.
Oh,
that's very nice.
Like a British Hello Kitty.
Oh, okay.
Hello Kitty.
That's very nice.
I think Coach bags though go over the best though. Like
Coach bags,
the real thing. Like,
yeah,
from Coach.
Yeah, she likes that.
Those are expensive, Scott.
They are.
Scott said, "I know."
You have to hit Len Askren
for listening
a
about
more
my
money.
Christmas bonus.
Yeah,
we get Christmas bonuses.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
interesting. Giovanni Bernard or Jeremy Hill tonight, Corey?
Giovanni Bernard, because the reasons that Tony said, the pass catching ability will give him the bump in this one. And if I'm not mistaken, the Giants are one of the teams that get abused by running backs out the backfield.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Sterling Shepard tonight, Scotty. You were off him last week. Came through with a touchdown. Tony Zuccotto had that one.
Yeah, that was a good call.
Scotty, what about Sterling Shepard this week?
I think I like him. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. is not expected to play tonight, so I think I like him to take. I'm sorry, Victor Cruz is.
I'm about to say.
I was like, "What are you talking about?"
I'm about to say, "Oh my god,
we got breaking news."
Yeah. Victor Cruz is not expected to play tonight, so I like him. And they were featuring Roger Lewis last week, but I don't think they'll do it again. So,
and then besides that, Andy Dalton tonight here, Tony. You gave us the point projection. You expect me to lose? That's a little frustrating.
Yeah, I look at this Giants secondary, and that's the key to attacking this defense. I think he throws the ball anywhere from 36 to 40 times in tonight's contest. So I think A.J. Green comes up big, and I look for 21 fantasy points and outplaying Eli Manning to 17.
4 points are going to lose, but I'm not a joke. Hey, let's take a break now. When we come back, we are going to head on over to the NBA, the association. We'll talk basketball from last night. We'll preview a little DFS tonight, and we'll get you ready for Monday Night Football. Giants and Bengals tonight. The Roto Experts continues on right after this. Final few minutes here. Roto Experts in the morning. Scott Angle, Corey Parks, and Greg Sussman. Tony Zingata. We'd like to save the last few minutes for a little NBA talk. Tony, I didn't want to play any DFS basketball yesterday. I took the day off myself, but I'm excited to get back in business tonight with a nice slate of games here on Monday night, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, you know what? Once we get close to the Christmas season, then it'll all change. We'll get the regular routine slates. But tonight, you never know. You get 4 or 5 games. Last night was crazy, though, to me. There was a lot of – I didn't play either, but my season-long league, it took a turn for the worse yesterday as there was some scores that I didn't expect. Like the Orlando Magic have been a team that played a slow place, some good defense, and they put up a monster number in that game with Oklahoma City yesterday.
Yeah, a monster score, Oklahoma City yesterday. The final score, 119-117. Orlando with that victory. The Orlando Magic put up, oh my god, my screen just went blank, 31 points by Serge in his return, 31-9, 4 blocks in that revenge game for Serge Ibaka. Alfred Payton had a really good game, 23-9-7. Evan Fournier chipped in with 21-5. Tone?
Yeah, you know, the one thing with Elfrid Payton, if you play in leagues that allow turnovers, he's been letting up a ton. But yesterday, 0 turnovers for Elfrid Payton. And of course, a young point guard, 37 minutes of play there. This is a team, Ibaka. I've been all over this guy. He's turned into a jump shooter from the guy that used to play underneath, block shots. But yesterday, it all went together, 13 for 19, 31 points there. And for the Thunder, what do you say? Russell Westbrook's in a different planet than anybody else. But how good has Steven Adams been this year?
Oh,
a guy you could have got very late in drafts, and he's putting double-doubles up every night.
Yeah, Steven Adams slumped early this year. He's really started to pick it up, though. Double-doubles, like you said, almost every night. And Russell Westbrook's game, the more impressive thing to me is 41-16-12, another triple-double, just 2 turnovers here. Well, James Harden's averaging 7-8 turnovers, seemingly. 14-21 from the field for Russ, only 13-18 from the free throw line, but a triple-double again. Victor Oladipo at 12. People were asking me, Tony, about Domantas Sabonis as a potential pickup. Disaster game for him yesterday.
Yeah, I couldn't rely on this guy. Like, if you have daily moves and it's a good situation that night, you need to get a play in, like if you're one of those head-to-head that you play each week, he could be a guy he's a spot play, nothing more than that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Over.
Because they need to get Kanter more involved.
I mean,
the numbers Kanter puts up. Fantasy minutes per minute. Like last night, again, 16 points, 8 rebounds, 24 minutes.
It's crazy.
This happens every night.
Mm-hmm. They need to get Enes Kanter involved even more. But they don't. It seems like they do want to separate him and Steven Adams, and that's why he only gets, 24 minutes or so.
He's so bad defensively, that's why they don't put him and Adams out at the same time.
Another extremely high-scoring game yesterday was Golden State and Phoenix. We knew this one would be fast. A 133-120 victory for Steph Curry, KD, and Golden State. KD puts up 29-9-5. It just seems easy for him. Steph puts up 36-6. Klay, he's been hotter as of late, Tony. 30 points, 2 rebounds.
Yeah, I played him a couple times last week because it was good matches. And his price just got to a point it was too low in daily because he was the third and fourth option. And it was basically not happening. You can ride him for a little bit here in daily fantasy while his price stays down.
Yeah.
The one thing is, though, I'm surprised he's not getting any assist in this game.
None.
This is a good offense, right? In this game, one assist. He had two rebounds. He had five turnovers. So even though he put up a big game, there were some problems there when you look at his line that tells you going forward there might be a problem. Stephen Curry, right? 30 points again. Yep. The three-pointers are flowing for this guy. Five more yesterday. He is single-handedly winning you 3 points if you're in season-long. He had 13 in a game, then he followed up with seven, and now with five. He single-handedly will win you the three-point category.
Draymond Green, 14, 11, and 7, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and this is a guy you could just keep playing because he does a little bit of everything, Scotty.
Tyson Chandler was back with the team, but missed his fourth consecutive game following a death in the family. The Suns are at Denver on Wednesday. For a second of six straight road games. It's the longest road trip of the season.
Alex Len was somebody I actually started over the weekend, Tony. He helped me cash on Saturday night. Only 18 minutes last night for Len, starting in place of Chandler again. He put up 9 and 6. In fact, most of these Suns starters you thought in a fast-paced game would be good, they kind of let you down. I mean, T.J. Warren at 20 points. He had a really good game. 20 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals. But Eric Bledsoe at 20 and 5. Devin Booker at 19, 4 and 3. Not a great night overall.
No, you look at it, and Bledsoe's a guy that I would have loved in this contest, but you have a decent player there in Klay Thompson from a defensive perspective. Also, Warren, when you look at it, 18 shots in 33 minutes, as long as he's getting that. But again, he had 4 steals, which is great. He only had 2 assists, 3 rebounds there from a fantasy perspective. And P.J. Tucker had 27 minutes off the bench. Mm-hmm. Watch and see if he gets more involved in that offense. 8 points, 8 rebounds. He's a guy, if he can get right around that time, he's a chance to get you double-double each night.
Yeah, Jared Dudley also has been hot for this Suns team, 14 and 5 off the bench for him. Portland beats up Denver 112 to 105 last night. You had CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard both have nice games. Lillard 32, 6 assists, 8 rebounds, 4 steals. McCollum had 21 and 4. All 5 starters for the Blazers in double digits, including Mo Harkless, who's been pretty good as of late. 17 and 6 for him. Plumlee 11 and 9. You had Myers Leonard have 11 and 4. Evan Turner off the bench, 14 points. Alan Crabb is a point. I'm trying to figure out between Crabb, Turner, and Harkless which way to go each night, Tony. But Harkless, who's still cheap on DFS sites, he's still out there in a few season-long leagues. He has been good with the Al-Farouq Aminu injury.
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of college basketball when you look at the Portland Trail Blazers, because it's the only team where everything's done in the backcourt. Everything comes through the point guard and the shooting guard. McCollum, of course, gets some point guard minutes there. Then you bring Evan Turner, who's more of a two guard than I see him as a small forward. So Harkless, I think, has an opportunity in this offense because he's the only consistent option in the front court. I mean, when you have Aminu in there and he's not hurt, it's a little bit different. But if going forward, I think Harkless, without Aminu in there, is going to continue to get great opportunities. There's just no front court play for this Trailblazers team.
Just a quick note on the Nuggets, though, too. The Nuggets rank last in the league, averaging 18 turnovers a game. How many did they have last night? 18.
Danilo Gallinari, 19 and 7. Kenneth Faried started here. He had 18 and 14 with 4 blocks. And they've been trying to figure out what to do next to Joseph Nurkic with Nikola Jokic as well. Jokic asked to go back to the bench. He doesn't score in 26 minutes. Wilson Chandler's been a beast this year. He puts up 18 and 7, returning from injury. Jamal Murray, he's out there in a lot of leagues as well. 19 points, 5 rebounds for him off the bench too. Are you picking up Jamal Murray here?
I could, you could, but the problem is there's too many front court guys here, right? And
yep.
They all play 25 minutes.
They got to make a trade.
So one night to the next, it's a problem. We need to figure out, you're right, they got to move one of these guys. Because Kenneth Faried, to me, is the guy that I look at this offense.
Yep.
And I think he would be the most consistent performer. You look at it, Nurkic is a guy, he doesn't play enough minutes. Last night, 19 minutes. One game to the next, you just never know what you're going to get from him. This team... These big guys always could put up monster numbers. In a DFS perspective, you can't sleep at night with them in your lineup because you just don't know how long they're going to play.
Exactly. It's impossible to throw any of them out in a DFS lineup right now because none of them are consistent. Minnesota beats the Lakers 125-99 yesterday, a much-needed victory for Minnesota, who was led by 47 points from Andrew Wiggins yesterday. 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Karl-Anthony Towns had 22-12. Ricky Rubio returns 10 and 10 for him.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins should be on the Cleveland Cavaliers for all the people that forget. He was part of that Kevin Love trade. Can you imagine if he was on the Cavaliers and they kept that? This team should be way better than their 3-6 record. They're stacked. I love this young team. Rubio back, so now they get a consistent point guard. Karl Anthony Towns has not played great to start the season. Gorgui Dieng was getting a lot of those plays. Now we're starting to see him really insert himself the last week and a half, Karl Anthony Towns. And he put up 21-12. This is going to be a good team going forward. From a fantasy perspective, though, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Rubio and Chris Dunn. There was a lot of talk about Rubio being available in the trade market going forward, and if that happens and he ends up with a new address.
Zach LaVine
didn't play last night.
Zach LaVine did not play last night. You got to remember, though, Tyus Jones is actually playing better than Chris Dunn was when Rubio was out. Tyus Jones last night played 17 minutes compared to Chris Dunn's 14 minutes. So, interesting to check out that backup point guard. Rubio has been banged up. And Nemanja Bjelica got the start for Zach LaVine. Put up 24-8 in that spot
shoot.
Start.
He can shoot the ball.
Played 41 minutes, too, Tony.
But he's only going to be relative as long as LaVine is out. I think that when you look at it from a shooting perspective, he'll come in and he'll fill that role and bang some threes. I like him as long as LaVine's not playing.
For the Lakers last night, the guards have been really, really good. Lou Williams, Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, Nick Young, all normally putting up points. Not yesterday for D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young. Clarkson, Williams, both in double digits off the bench. Disappointing game all around for the Lakers, actually, as Julius Randle had 14, Lou Alding at 13. Like I said, not a fun one for L.A., Scott.
Timothy Mozgov was in foul trouble last night, only played 15 minutes.
Fouled out.
Yeah. Brandon Ingram was listed as questionable with an ankle injury, but was able to play 26 minutes and score 10 points.
Cleveland defeats Charlotte yesterday 100-93, 20 points off the bench for Channing Frye to actually lead the way for Cleveland. And again, they only won by 7 points. LeBron puts up 19-8-8. Kevin Love has 17-11. Kyrie puts up 19-4. Over to Charlotte, 21 points from Kemba Walker, 16-6 from Marvin Williams. MKG puts up 11-10, while Nick Batum really fills up the stat sheet with 15-9-7, Tony.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about Kemba Walker and Charlotte? This team's a lot better, but they're never going to win with Kemba Walker as a point guard. Look at, he just keeps shooting. 8 for 21, that's low 40% there. And he just shoots too much, and this team I don't think goes anywhere. The biggest thing for Cleveland for me is Kevin Love. I think a lot of us disregarded him because of his play with the Cleveland Cavaliers in draft day. He's a guy that's going to be on a lot of fantasy championship teams if he can stay healthy this year.
That's what it is. It's all about health for him because you got him late. If you just stay healthy, you're in a good spot there. Let's talk a little DFS tonight, Tony. I'll be back in action. I'm sure you'll be back in action tonight. What are you looking for tonight? James Harden is the most expensive player, but he's got one tasty matchup against Philly.
Yeah, against Philly. Sometimes that's too tasty because they're at home, so they're 11.5-point favorite. But I say this time and time again, I don't care what the fantasy sport is, we overrate blowouts. Remember, if
you blow a team out, you
have to put up a bunch of points to get there, so don't disregard him tonight.
Yep.
I think you got a great opportunity, and I think you have a great opportunity for Anthony Davis because the Boston Celtics do not guard big men well. So this is a game with the 2 11.5 total. So you could have a decision to make between Harden or Davis. And right now I'm leaning towards Davis in that matchup because I can get better players at the guard position. Not better than Harden, but suitable backup replacements there as far as spending money. You look at the guard position tonight. You look at Alfred Payton, right, and Jeff Teague playing against each other. Teague, a guy that absolutely struggles defensively. I think you go back to Alfred Payton tonight in that contest. You look at Chris Paul taking on the Brooklyn Nets in a Brooklyn Nets team that plays up-tempo. They can't cover the point guard positions. I think it gives you a great opportunity to jump on something like in that situation is a game that gives you an opportunity. Harden's got a great matchup, but I think I can find a little cheaper at point guard.
I actually like the guys in Dallas tonight. Dallas has been off for like a week. Let's not forget that. So they're going to get healthy. If Darren Williams still doesn't play, I think J.J. Barea is a really good start against the Knicks. That point guard position, he's at 5,800. And I still love targeting guys at Houston. So against Houston, because Houston certainly doesn't play defense. Joel Embiid's going to play tonight, yep. Tony. Hard to not go with Embiid when he plays.
I hate going with him because of him. He's the same thing as this Denver situation.
But he puts up the numbers.
He can put up the most fantasy minutes per minute. But depending on the site you are, is depending on the price that you get with Embiid. When you're looking at right now going into tonight's action with Mr. Joel Embiid. You got him at 5,400 on FanDuel, which is nice.
Yep.
6,300 on DraftKings, which gets up a little bit there. So it's all site dependent there.
It is. And at 5,400, though, you have to agree, at least on DraftKings and stuff, it's on FanDuel. It's tough not to play him.
One of the guys that's absolutely intriguing to me, too, is DeAndre Jordan. He's playing in a great matchup tonight. They're 26th in the seventh league in centers. He has done nothing this coming into the season. He's only 6,900, 6,600. We're talking about a guy that was a $9,000 or $10,000 player last year.
It's a good point.
What do you guys think of Victor Oladipo tonight at 5,400 on FanDuel?
Tony? Victor Oladipo against Detroit doesn't really excite me. I try to stay away from Detroit. They're a low-paced team for me. I don't like playing against Detroit, Utah, San Antonio, the Clippers. All those teams are in action tonight. I'm trying to stay away from those matchups, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Detroit's one of those teams that you just cross off your list and you stay away from there. You know, it's interesting, though, with the Clippers, they did play in a couple contests last week where they got some scoring. And J.J. Redick has actually a good matchup tonight. So if you needed to save a little money, $4,000, $4,100 on FanDuel, and he'll knock in his 20 fantasy points.
My guy KCP is someone I throw out there every week or almost every day on FanDuel. He's under 5,000. He is one of their top scoring options for Detroit. I know the last game wasn't great against Denver, but he's putting up numbers each and every day. I love KCP.
He's got a good, got a tough matchup tonight, though, defensively.
Yeah, Oladipo.
His price tag is now, 4,700, 5,000. So I would
go down. Go down to Redick. Riddick.
Yeah. Yeah, find a guy with two names.
Do you guys like either one of the? You guys are talking about point guards. So I just wanted to go back to that and ask: do you guys like either Isaiah Thomas or Marcus Smart?
Well, you got to remember Isaiah Thomas does have that finger injury. We'll see. He says he's fine. We got to see if he does play though. He jammed his finger in that last game. He says he's going to be fine. He stayed in the game, but George Hill did the same thing. George Hill's been out for like a week, so I'm concerned about Isaiah Thomas. If he does not play, I'm interested in Marcus Smart, Tony.
If he doesn't play, absolutely Marcus Smart. But with them both in the lineup, stay away. Avery Bradley's in the mix as well when they have those three guards there. It's just not enough to go around. And with the injury, I'll lay off Isaiah Thomas there too. And I talked about J.J. Barrera, of course, if Deron Williams is not in, he's the guy that you can play every night, especially on FanDuel. $5,800 is a gift at that salary. He's $6,800 on DraftKings, so he becomes more of a tougher play there. But at $5,800, if no Deron Williams, do you just put him in the lineup each and every night? I don't even care about the opponent at that price.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. He's someone I immediately put into my lineups here. So if Deron Williams is not out, definitely try to get J.J. Barrera into that lineup. A lot of injuries here for the point guard position tonight. George Hill could be out. Jeremy Lin could be out. Deron Williams could be out. Goran Dragic could be out. Jrue Holiday could be out. Isaiah Thomas could be out. So make sure if you're making lineups tonight, you're paying attention. There's a lot of potential point guard injuries.
And weekly fantasy basketball, according to our Dan Dobish on Roto Experts, Dallas and Toronto among the teams with the favorable schedules this week. Check out the fantasy basketball weekly plan on Roto Experts.
For Scott Engel, Corey Parson, and Tony Cicada, I'm Greg Sussman. The Fantasy Best Friends Forever with a returning Nando DeFino is next.